Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 years.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Great mustache.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause, the mustache.
Wani, hanging out with Molly and Haw.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay? Next question.
Dave Wannstedt.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Dave Wannstedt down in Miami, part of Fox Super Bowl coverage, and he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Coach!
Morning, Dave.
How we doing there? My big buzz in Miami. I think it's obviously you got two great teams to start off with, and that helps. And then I just think the atmosphere here in Miami, you know, it's all about the stars and the glitter and Hollywood a little bit, you know, has that effect. So you're going to get all the celebs out and people outside. I think there's just something to when the sun's shining and people can get outside and walk around. A Super Bowl doesn't get any better than that.
All right, so forget the football for a second, Dave. What's your social calendar look like and who are you looking forward to meeting?
Having dinner with Stallone tonight. No, I'm kidding. Are you kidding me? No, we have we got a lot of media stuff going on. We're today here a little bit later this afternoon. We have our Fox National Media Day where all the reporters will come over that were over there with the teams, and we'll do some pictures and some sit-down interviews. And then we have later on in a week, we have a media day with the Fox affiliates all around the country. So we'll be doing that. We got a couple little Fox social things here, big dinner thing coming up here this week. And then a couple of charity things. I'm going to go to St. Jude. Kelly's being honored at the Legends, the St. Jude banquet. So I'm going to go to that thing and see Jim and a bunch of those people. So, it's a full day. Then we'll have our regular meetings and our rehearsals and everything like that leading up to the Super Bowl. So it's a full week. Fun week, though.
Yeah, that's a great event, too, Dave, that you're going to. That's St. Jude says an unbelievable job, and that's always a fun one to attend if you can get in. And, of course, you can get into all of them. When you look at this matchup, it's kind of fun because obviously the great quarterback is going to dominate all the conversation, but the great pass rushers against the great quarterback, the team that likes to run and play defense against the team that likes to score points in bunches. It's kind of a really fun sort of, opposites attract type deal.
Yeah, it is. I'll be curious to see, putting on my defensive hat and looking at both of these teams. If I'm game planning them, both teams, and I listened to Olin, he's got some great insight. I mean, he really does. And, both of these teams, do a lot of motions. They have the play action pass and the runs, everything that looks the same. When you're facing a team like this, I've always believed that the one thing you don't want to do is get out of position and make them earn it. In other words, don't give them a cheap play because we were trying to be too cute or we were doing too much. So I think, San Francisco's defense, I mean, as we talked about in previous shows, they don't blitz much. They're four down. So all this reverse stuff and this sweep stuff and the Mahomes quarterback read, all the stuff that Kansas City does on offense, I think it kind of fits in pretty nice to what San Francisco does on the other side on defense. In other words, they can play their four down guys. They're going to get pass rush, but But more, as importantly, you know, stopping the screens and the reverses and all the gimmick stuff that Andy Reid likes to do, you know, is as long as they don't come in, as long as San Francisco doesn't come in and try to invent a new defense and they do what they do best, I kind of like their defensive matchup. I think on the other side, you know, Kansas City's defense, you know, they're a little bit more. They'll play some 4-3. They'll play 3-4 a lot. They'll pressure a lot more. They're the ones, I think, that are going to have to make some adjustments, because if they don't, Kyle Shanahan's going to find some ways to get those guys out of position, and I think that's potentially some big plays for San Francisco. So I'm going to watch and see how these defenses play these wide open gimmick type offenses, I'll call them, and I know how I would play them.
Well, keep that defensive hat on, Dave. I mean, you look at Tyreek Hill, and it's very difficult to defend speed. So, but there's got to be a plan. There's got to be an emphasis. How do you approach a guy like that? And is he priority one in stopping the Chiefs?
Yeah, he would be, but I think that, you know, with the pressure that they're going to put on Mahomes. Mahomes is going to be looking to, you know, the Kelce. I mean, Kelce, I would make a decision on what down in distances and where on the field is Kelce the favorite receiver? When is Tyreek Hill the favorite receiver? That sounds simple, but that's how I would look at it. And now I would say, okay, you know what, boy, on third down and 3, 4, 5, 6, it's Kelce. It's Kelce 2-1. We're going to double team him, and we're going to have to live with singling up Tyreek Hill. There may be situations where it's the opposite, where Hill's the big guy, and now I would change up the coverage. So, you know, you're running the same coverage. You're either doubling one guy or the other. Everybody else is constant. There shouldn't be any mental mistakes with anybody else. And because in games like this, the kicking game, obviously, and it's the team that makes the most mistakes. It usually isn't the team that makes the most great plays, but it's the team that makes the fewest amount of bad plays. And with all the reverses and the sweeps and everything we talk about, the motions, I mean, both of these teams are capable of giving you a bad play because you don't, as simple as it sounds, you don't get lined up correctly.
It's interesting, Dave. I was saying earlier, we were talking, and I was saying the problem I have is there's a part of me that really likes San Francisco and likes the defensive matchup. And the problem is that the Niners almost have to play a perfect game to win, whereas, and I don't know if it holds up against San Francisco, but I have seen the Chiefs jump off sides 3 times, do dumb things, and overcome it because they can score points in a second. They can make up for mistakes immediately. So I don't know if Kansas City has to play a perfect game.
Yeah, I think that I like San Francisco as a team, but I agree with what you're saying, Molly. I mean, if San Francisco falls behind by 10 points, 2 scores, and all of a sudden this game falls on Garoppolo to throw it, to beat you, I don't like that. I mean, I think if this thing goes into the fourth quarter, 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and it's a toss-up game, I think San Francisco wins. I really do, because I think now they've got the advantage of the run game, the play action pass, holding on to the football. Where I'm not sold on Kansas City wanting to do that or capable of doing that.
Dave, if you're a personnel guy and you're looking at these two rosters and just watching tape and objectively evaluating, which would you rather? How would you rank these groups in order? The Kansas City skill position players on offense, the 49ers pass rush, the front four, and the 49ers offensive line. Because I think one of those three is going to control this football game or dictate the course of this game. I think it depends on what you're watching or what your background is, maybe, and what you predict will happen.
Yeah, and everyone's going to talk about the defensive line. Mahomes, you're not going to sack him much, guys. You're going to make him throw the ball off. So I would, as great as that San Francisco defensive line is, it's going to come down to the guys on the back end. You know, I mean, the linebackers, the safeties, and the defensive backs tackling well, I think. And no one talks about the fundamentals, but, I mean, Kansas City's one of the best teams in the league at yards after catch, you know, and San Francisco does a great job of that with Kittle and all those guys. So So I think it's really not as much going to be the front guys. I think it's really going to come down to the back end guys, you know, the linebackers and the secondary matching up. And then when they get opportunities to make plays, they're going to have to do them. You know, and I know the conversation won't be that way. Everybody, you know, everyone wants to talk about the linemen and the pass rush, but I don't know. I mean, you're not going to sack Mahomes. I wouldn't come into the game saying, oh, we got to get three sacks. I would come into the game saying, we got to make him throw the ball on time. I mean, you know, let's not let him get out of the pocket and extend plays. That's when a 10-yard completion might turn into a 40-yard completion. It might turn into a long scramble. So I would be conservative. I would really be conservative on my pass rush unless I was blitzing, and make sure that the theme with me would be to make sure he throws the ball on time.
All right, Dave, hold on. We're going to be right back. We'll talk about your pick for the game, and we'll get into
Question for you.
Yeah, we'll get into some of the other things that are floating around out there. He is Coach Dave Wannstedt, joins us every Tuesday, and we are delighted to have him back in just a minute. Mullion Hall on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Dave Wannstedt, hanging out with Mullion Hall.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score. Dave Wannstedt joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. And, Coach, you talk about Andy Reid, and he's a sentimental favorite in this game because he's been at it a long time, 20 years as a head coach, and never won a Super Bowl. And there is this feeling, whether it be true or not, and you can tell us, that if he doesn't win a Super Bowl, not only will his career feel incomplete to him, but maybe he's not a Hall of Famer. How do you judge Andy Reid, Dave, in terms of his playoff record, and does he need this one?
Well, you know, I think it's more, and everybody, you know, yes, from the outside, everyone will talk about, you know, Super Bowls. You got to get to the Super Bowl. A lot of things are factors of it. I think it will bother Andy as much as anybody because he has been close. I mean, and he's been, I think it speaks for what type of person he is, the respect that he has within the NFL. I mean, generally you don't survive 20 years in the National Football League or 21 years as a head coach unless you win a Super Bowl. I mean, it's just, you know, the odds are against you. So I think there's something to be said for the respect that the people around the league that they have for Andy Reid. And, you know, he's done a great job, and some things have happened, obviously, at Philadelphia. He thought he was going to get one. I think he's always learning. I give him credit because, you know, the offense they're running now is completely different from what he did at Philadelphia. And he's been willing to kind of take this college run pass option offense and move it, a lot of things that they did or do it in college before the NFL. And now the NFL is doing it. And Andy's one of the guys that's out in front of this thing. And obviously when you have Patrick Mahomes, that gives you a chance to do it. But, you know, a lot of coaches would be hard-headed and said, you know, I don't care. I'm going to do what I do, and that's the end of it. Where he's made changes, he's adjusted. I think you got to give him credit for that. And hopefully this will be the one that he gets. It would be fantastic for him.
Dave, whether it's that kind of external pressure that we're talking about or the distractions from a coaching perspective and for players, what role does anxiety play in preparation and then on Sunday afternoon?
Boy, you know what? I think the Super Bowl, you know, having kind of gone through this myself and relating back to our players, I don't think it really caught up with anybody. Now we were the youngest team. When we went to that first Super Bowl we went to in Dallas, we were the youngest team in the NFL and won it, you know. So we didn't have a lot of veteran guys that have been sitting around talking about getting to the Super Bowl. But when you look at Mahomes, I mean, you know, these guys are young guys too. I mean, they're not really an old veteran team. Bosa, a lot of the players that we're talking about are the stars of these teams are, you know, first, second, third year guys. And it really didn't make an impact that this is the Super Bowl. For me, it was basically one kickoff, you know, after warmups and up in a press box and you're overlooking the stadium and the Jets go over and all that. That's when it kind of really brings everything in tight and says, oh my God, you know, we may never get another chance at this. We've got to find a way to win this game and get this done. You know, I remember Troy Aikman, I think he made the comment when he was standing in the tunnel before he went out and he's looking out and, you know, the crowd and the noise and the hype and everything that's going on, and he says, "Holy, you know, we're actually playing in the Super Bowl." So I think that it's not an anxiety thing that you're living with all week because there's so much activity and there's so much newness and there's a lot of fun things going on in addition to your preparation that kind of keeps the edge off. I would put it that way. But you know, one point before you go on, you know, Olin mentioned Andy Heck.
Yep.
You know, Andy Heck, he was and Molly, you'll remember this.
Sure.
He was the first big free agent that I signed when I became the Bears coach. And we brought him here. And I knew Andy from playing, how about this for a connection, where the convicts versus the Catholics.
Yes.
When I was at Miami, and I was the defense coordinator, assistant head coach at Miami, and we were playing Notre Dame. Andy was the captain. He was an offensive lineman on that Notre Dame team. So there, you know, the connection went back to the college days and as far as what type of player he was and what he would bring to our team on and off the field. And so I'm happy for Andy too. And I just wanted to mention that because Olin brought it up. I actually halfway forgot about that he's coaching in this game.
You know, it's interesting when you look at San Francisco. You know, we've talked about Andy Reid, but Kyle Shanahan. So they had Jim Harbaugh, right? And Harbaugh leaves in 2014, and that's kind of a mess when he leaves. They have Jim Tomsulo for a year. They have Chip Kelly for a year. And then they go out and they give Shanahan a six-year deal and a six-year deal for John Lynch. And, you know, people talk about how the Niners were in danger of turning into Cleveland, firing a coach every year. So now they get somebody, they give them the time by giving them a six-year deal. How much of that trend could take over the league? You look at what's going on in Carolina. Is it a big thing to get that contract with the years behind you?
Oh, sure. I mean, from a it's a six-year contract, but at least if you get a three-year contract, the truth is, and you guys heard me talk about this, every coach, every job has a window, in my opinion. This is my opinion, that you have to hit it big or it's not going to work. And, you know, if you sign a three-year contract, the reality is the window is probably a two-year window,
yeah.
You know? when that owner expects you to get us to the big dance. If you sign a 6-year contract, you know, it's not guaranteed in 6 years, but at least I think the fans, the media, the coaches, the staff, the players, everybody is looking at that and saying, "Now we've probably got a 4-year window where we've got to get there." So I do think that the longer contract, for sure, it takes the stress level off, you know, having to win that first or second year. And that's a great situation. I mean, you got to give the owner, York's and family, ownership for San Francisco. I mean, to do a complete change from 1-year coaches and getting rid of everybody to 6-year manager and coach. I mean, that's drastic change. And so far it's worked. And you know, you mentioned Kyle Shanahan, and I've got to say this on the air because we worked that. The last Super Bowl that Fox had was the Atlanta, New England game in Houston. And I was there working that game. And when he dropped back to throw the ball at the end of the game, and then they fired the defensive coordinator the next week and he leaves and goes to San Francisco. That bothered me for months. I mean, it really did from a coach's perspective. How you lose a Super Bowl by doing something as stupid as that, really, you know?
Right.
And this week, I'll tell you what, Kyle Shanahan, I've heard him talk about what a mistake he made probably a half a dozen times this week on all different media outlets. And I respect the guy. I mean, the guy tells me that he's learned. You know, he's a young guy, young play caller, and as time has gone on, he's learned, you know, lessons along the way. And I'm a fan of the guys now. I'm a big fan of Kyle Shanahan and what he's doing and how he's doing it. I think that you can see the guy, how he's matured.
Quick Bears question, Dave. Eric Berry, 31-year-old safety with the injury history, overcame a lot, but still a guy who sat out last season, said this week that he wants to play again in 2020. If you're the Bears, are you interested?
I would not be. I mean, we put all of our money in Eddie Jackson. It's safety. You know, I say that from a talent standpoint. Obviously, he's a great player, possible Hall of Famer. But the injury thing and how much money, that would be the determining factor. And if the injury thing is something that there's a little bit of concern medically, I would pass on that. And if he wanted a big contract, I mean, the Bears only have so much money to spend. And when you spend it on one player at the same position, it's tough to go, in my opinion, to go overboard on another guy.
All right, Dave, the Chiefs are favored by 1.5. Who do you like in the game?
You know what? I'm kind of a San Francisco fan because of the style that Kyle Shanahan's doing, the running the ball and the defense. I'm a fan of theirs. But I think that Patrick Mahomes, he's the best player on the field. He's going to touch the ball more than anybody else, being the quarterback. And as we all said, and, you know, Jimmy Johnson said it way back when we talked about drafting players, he says, let's get those players that do things that you don't have to coach. And if there's one player that does things that you don't have to coach, it's Patrick Mahomes. So I would agree. I would probably bet. If I was betting, I would go with Kansas City.
Great stuff, Dave. Thanks a ton. Really
Thanks,
appreciate
Dave.
It.
Have fun.
Okay, guys. Talk to you then. Thank you.
That is Dave Wannstedt. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to hear a lot of that. And, David, you pointed out that it was the first time we asked, first time we heard. Well, now we've asked a couple times, and we've heard a couple of times.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Hey, my name! Hey, my name! We get better, better!
We get better, better!
We
get
BB!
We
get
BB! NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Morning, Mike.
Hey, doing great. How are you guys today?
You looked lonely down there the first I saw you. There was no one else down. It seemed like you owned the place. And now I imagine people are starting to turn up in Miami.
It is so bizarre how on the first day of Super Bowl week, there is no one, especially in the morning, at Radio Row, the media center. And then it's like the logarithmic scale. It's the Richter scale. Every day it goes up by a dramatic amount. And today there's already a lot more activity. Tomorrow it'll be even more. And Thursday is usually when it peaks. Friday it holds about the same as Thursday. But yeah, Monday it's crickets. And it's so weird because if there's only one other person talking, it's a huge distraction, right? Because it's otherwise silent. It gets to the point where it's thousands of voices and it's not a distraction. But like we were trying to do the show and there was one other guy talking. It's like, hey, tell that guy shut the hell up. that one voice in this empty hall is enough to like completely throw you off.
Mike, you're a veteran of a lot of Super Bowls. And after watching last night, I wondered what your perspective would be. How would you describe the way the Kobe Bryant tragedy has cast a pall over what is typically one of the more festive weeks on the NFL calendar?
Well, it has made it all much more restrained because so many of these NFL players grew up following Kobe Bryant, emulating Kobe Bryant, being inspired by his work ethic. Aaron Rodgers told Chris Sims this past summer at the American Century Celebrity Pro-Am in Lake Tahoe that he saw that Kobe Bryant gets up at 3:30 in the morning to work out. So Aaron Rodgers decided, I better get up at 3:30 in the morning to work out. I mean, he inspired a generation of athletes, regardless of whether they play basketball or football. And I think that has at least for now caused everything to have a much more restrained feel than it otherwise would. Later in the week, who knows? But at least to get things started, it definitely has a different vibe.
There seems to be this feeling that this is the beginning of something with Patrick Mahomes, that he's at the Super Bowl and he's going to win a Super Bowl and then he's going to win a bunch of Super Bowls. I don't know that we're hearing the same thing about San Francisco or specifically Jimmy Garoppolo, but which of these teams is more likely to be kind of the return Super Bowl team moving forward?
Well, you know, I feel like the 49ers, but for the quarterback position, have the better team, and they have a coach who already has shown that he's one of the best in the NFL, and I feel like they are built to last, but you can't overestimate the value of having a great quarterback. And when you put Patrick Mahomes with Andy Reid, it just feels like both of these two teams, they're going to get their rings, or at least one ring over the next 5 years, and maybe they're going to cross paths again. And I don't want to be influenced by the recency of it, because every year you could say the two teams who emerged as the best in each conference are destined to continue to keep coming back, and we know that other than the Patriots, that just doesn't happen. But it feels like both teams are on the front end. Not that the window is closing, but the window is wide open, and they can only get better and better. But the 49ers, I think, with that running game, with the coaching staff, with the defense, with the mentality of the players that they have put together who go out and play, I don't want to say old school football necessarily, but there is a quality of the 49ers team where, and this is something that I think Kyle Shanahan looks for, guys who just go. When the ball is snapped, they just go. They do their job, they know their assignment, they execute it, and they do it with a tenacity and a physicality that maybe other players don't necessarily have in today's NFL, where they don't practice that physicality like they used to. So I think both teams are here to stay for the foreseeable future.
Mike, you had an interesting item on ProFootballTalk.com about Kyle Shanahan revealing that Bill Belichick actually called him after the 28-3 lead that was blown in the Patriots-Falcons Super Bowl, and what he took from that conversation. And what do you think that, first of all, how unusual is that for that to happen? And secondly, what do you think he learned from that experience that will be applicable this week?
Well, I know one thing that he learned from it, and he said this last week, he's never going to relax ever again in any situation, in any game, no matter what the lead is. It could be 128-3, and he's not going to back off. But, you know, Bill Belichick has a lot of respect for Mike Shanahan and for Kyle Shanahan, and the fact that they did have that conversation, I mean, it just shows you, we heard these stories last year about conversations between Bill Belichick and Sean McVay. You know, it really is a small industry. It's a fraternity. And even though they compete against each other, they're in the same business, which is a very, very small and unique mentality and space. And they all are wired the same way. And, yeah, hey, look, the bottom line is Kyle Shanahan learned some very valuable lessons about how to call a game, about how not to take a breath, and about how to put your foot on the other team's throat until the clock says 0-0-0. Otherwise, you're creating an opening for a team to come back and take you down like the Patriots did that day.
It's fascinating to think about the difference between the two coaches, because as you talk about Kyle Shanahan, young guy, learned maybe from that Super Bowl. Meanwhile, Andy Reid's been at it forever. Maybe needs a Super Bowl win to secure his legacy, to ensure he's Hall of Fame material. And Shanahan, you could argue that the six-year deal kind of bails him out of all the issues in San Francisco. Ditto John Lynch. Those guys, that might be a new trend, right? Because if the quarterback gets hurt and you know that you got to win right now, maybe you approach building the team differently.
Hey, and if I'm Kyle Shanahan, I'm rethinking that six-year deal at this point. I'd like to get the free agency. I want to rip that up and redo that deal, especially with the Panthers giving Matt Rhule $9 million a year. I want a new contract after this run if I'm Kyle Shanahan. But, you know, you're right on Andy Reid. It feels like his career is incomplete without a Super Bowl win, even though he already is one of the greatest coaches of all time. I mean, think about it. It's the 100th season in the NFL. Andy Reid's been a head coach for 20% of the total existence of the NFL, 20 years. He's been going at it. And why would you walk away now? You're on the front end of Patrick Mahomes' career. 10 more years? I don't know. We see more and more of these guys get close to 70 and into their 70s. And if you give me a franchise quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, you know, it was Nick Saban who said a couple of years ago that if they'd had Drew Brees in Miami, he'd still be the coach of the Dolphins. It's a hell of a lot easier to stay with a team indefinitely when you've got one of the guys who's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. So, you know, I feel like Andy Reid is going to get his at some point with Patrick Mahomes, whether it's this year, next year, the year after that. I feel like the window's wide open on what they possibly will be able to do with that team, especially because of the way that we've seen Mahomes play when he's healthy. And I think that was the key this year. We kind of forgot about Patrick Mahomes in the middle of the season because of that injury, and I think he had a hard time getting back to 100%. He's back at 100% now, and we've been reminded he truly is the best player in the game right now.
Mike, Super Bowl week also means the annual NFLPA big meeting on Thursday. There seemed to be momentum building toward a CBA agreement, and now as you report that there's some talk that there's some resistance from the player side and going to 17 games. Where does that stand?
Well, and I don't know how much of this is posturing as you get closer and closer to a deal, because it could be just a little squeeze by the union to get the NFL to give up that one last thing they're looking for financially. But I got the impression that there really is concern that because of all the strides that have been made in making players and teams and coaches sensitive to health and safety issues, that that's kind of backfired now, that the players have made that a cause, as they should. But it makes them even more resistant to 17 games than they otherwise would be. So they've been negotiating this deal under the assumption that it would be a 17-game season. And there's at least a proposal on the table that the union is going to take up with the Board of Player Representatives on Thursday. And there's a chance that people decide to go forward with it, and they decide to put it out to a vote of the union, and they could get this all done. But that 17-game thing is really going to be the issue that either results in the thing prevailing or getting derailed. And with Russell Okung now ready to run to be the NFLPA president, if he would win and if they would slow this NFL negotiation down until the election, and if Okung would emerge as the victor, that could dramatically change these negotiations and set the stage for a potentially ugly fight in 2021. But we'll see how it plays out over the next couple of months. And really, this week is going to be important to give us a glimpse into whether or not this 17-game thing is going to finally become a reality.
One of the great things we see in horse racing is kind of trip handicapping. You can see the whole race unfold. Here's the speed horses. Here's the horses that like to stay off the pace, and here come the closers. How does this game play out? What do you see when you close your mind and think about how this game's going to happen?
I mean, two big factors. One, can the Chiefs stop the 49ers running game? And if they can Jimmy Garoppolo win the game with his arm? And two, can the 49ers front four get to Patrick Mahomes before one or more of his guys is wide open in a secondary that is fairly suspect with San Francisco? That's the key. Will it be high scoring? Will it be low scoring? I don't know. I think there's a chance that the 49ers may try to play like a deep shell defense and force the Chiefs to take longer drives and shorten the game. And maybe the 49ers will shorten the game with the way they run the ball. But the teams are so evenly matched and the game seems so potentially close that I can see kind of like an old school 70s style Super Bowl where if one team gets behind by 10 or more points, the other team just collapses. It's just that the bubble pops and it turns ugly. I hope that doesn't happen. I hope it's a close, exciting game down to the wire. But it just feels like maybe somebody's back could get broken, you know, some point in the second quarter, and it all just kind of falls apart. We haven't had a Super Bowl like that in a while, and I hope we don't on Sunday. But it wouldn't surprise me, because we're expecting a great close game that will go down to the wire. It seems like the more we expect a game like that, the less likely it happens.
Do you have a prediction?
I'm leaning 49ers. We're making our official picks tomorrow, but right now I'm leaning 49ers. They've just been too good, and it's boring the way they're doing it, running the football, not passing it, the old Bob Greasy mentality for Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, he threw the ball 8 times in the NFC Championship game. But I just don't see anybody stopping that running game. It is executed with a physicality and a finesse that no one can stop. And but the more I think about it, I mean, no one's playing like Patrick Mahomes right now. He's the best player on the planet. And but I'm leaning 49ers. I just think overall the 49ers are slightly better team.
I got to tell you, Mike, I'm relieved to hear you say that, because I think everybody is going with the quarterback and going with the explosive offense, and I'm really struggling with it for that reason, because you know I can see the what you're talking about. If the Super Bowl ends up bad, it means that Kansas City got ahead, because I can see Kansas City going behind and still coming back, because I've seen it already in the playoffs, and I think they know they have that explosiveness. But I don't know that you're going to pull it off against this team.
Yeah, but if they fall behind the 49ers like they fell behind the Texans, Titans, I don't know that they're going to be able to come back, especially if the running game is there for San Francisco. Then they're not going to have the opportunities.
Yep.
You know, and that's the thing. Back to 28-3, Kyle Shanahan is not going to let the Chiefs back into this one if they can build a lead early. And we've seen the Chiefs fall behind, and we've seen the 49ers get ahead in both the playoff games.
Mike, thanks a ton. Have a great week down there.
Have fun, Mike.
Hey, one more quick thing.
Sure. Yeah,
I got to say happy birthday to our guy, Bobby V.
Is today his birthday?
It's his birthday.
Oh, yeah. Mike, I'm going to see him later. I'll have to put him through the spanking machine, whatever the hell that means. Thank you, Mike.
You thanks, Mike.
See you, buddy. That is Mike Florio. That's fantastic. I did not know that.
I didn't either.
Bobby Vasilopoulos, right. our buddy.
Happy birthday, Bobby V.
Is aging on us. My God, it's hard to believe. I still see him as the same 20-year-old wide-eyed kid coming out of college and heading over. Did he start at GN and making it all happen? Oh, the glory days. We'll bring in Dan and Connor next. Mully and Hall on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.